Healthcare reform was an albatross for Democrats at the federal, state, and even local level. Healthcare political dynamics led to our number two story and more. That number two story in politics for 2010 is the GOP tidal wave that swept Arkansas. You could say that Arkansas Republicans may have never had it so good. Riding the waves of voter discontent on health care and other issues, and fueled in part by a visible conservative Tea Party movement, the GOP saw unprecedented gains at all levels of government in 2010. They picked up congressional seats, constitutional offices, state house victories, and local representation in Arkansas. And there were plenty of GOP candidates prepared to challenge for seats. At one point in time, there were 12 Republican candidates running for the U.S. Senate race. It rarely mattered what some of the GOP candidates said. If there was an R after the name, it was beneficial. Governor Mike Beebe and Congressman Mike Ross were the only Democrats with Republican opponents who escaped any real casualties. The end result is that Arkansas's federal delegation flipped from a 5-1 Democratic advantage to a 4-2 Republican tilt in one election cycle. Arkansas's constitutional officer composition, which dictates majority-minority party status in Arkansas, is now just 4-3 for the Democrats. And in the Arkansas House and Senate, Democrats hold very slim majorities that could easily reverse in the 2012 elections. Our number three political story, Blanche Lincoln defeated by John Bozeman. This story is a tangible outcome of our number one and number two stories. Senator Blanche Lincoln, a fixture in Arkansas politics for almost two decades, was ousted in a landslide in 2010. The two-term Democratic senator was at the center of controversy in the federal health care debate and on other issues. Third District Congressman John Bozeman, who impressively won an eight-man GOP primary without a runoff, held his own in the few public debates with Lincoln. All he really had to say was, "I'm not Blanche Lincoln." His bland but steady campaign scored him a 21-point victory on November 2nd and made him the second Republican since Reconstruction to serve as a U.S. Senator from Arkansas. Our number four story in politics in 2010 was the GOP taking three of four congressional seats. Early and unexpected 2010 retirements from longtime Representatives Marion Barry and Vic Snyder left the Democrats scrambling for replacements in an election year that was challenging for the party of Jefferson and Jackson. As we've noted, it was the year of the Republican. In the first district, Republican Rick Crawford won by 9% over Marion Barry's chief of staff, Democrat Chad Causey, to become the first Republican since Reconstruction to hold that congressional seat. In the second district, controversial candidate Tim Griffin, a Republican with ties to George W. Bush and Karl Rove, handily won his race against Democratic State Senator Joyce Elliott. And the third district, a safe haven for Republicans, saw a supermajority victory for Rogers Mayor Steve Womack in the general election after a crowded and competitive primary. Representative Mike Ross, the lone federal Democrat in Arkansas to win re-election, all but ran as a Republican. He had a D after his name, but his position on taxes, health care, illegal immigration, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made it clear that he wanted as little to do with the party label as possible. Our number five political story, Governor Mike Beebe was reelected in a landslide. In any normal election year, the reelection of an Arkansas governor would be a contender for the top political story. But this was not a normal year. One could argue that popular Democratic incumbent Governor Mike Beebe's cakewalk to an election night victory, despite the Republican tsunami that engulfed Arkansas, may make it the number one political story of the year. Beebe's reelection was a remarkable feat considering the environment, but he was aided by 4 years of solid stewardship, bipartisan respect, and about $5 million in incumbent campaign funds. Our number six story in politics in 2010, Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter challenges Blanche Lincoln. Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter could kill you at poker. For months, the one-term Democrat played his cards close to the vest on a possible primary challenge to embattled incumbent Senator Blanche Lincoln. When he finally laid his cards on the table in the March filing period, it was clear that Halter had been preparing for the race for some time. He quickly ramped up a campaign operation, tapped money sources from the left, and gave Lincoln a run for her political life for the Democratic nomination. A third primary candidate, conservative D.C. Morrison, offered another alternative to Democrats wanting to send Lincoln a message. In the end, Morrison forced a Halter-Lincoln runoff, and Lincoln squeaked out a narrow victory. The Halter-Lincoln race will be a poster child for students of political history for years. Halter's internet savvy and message discipline was a stark contrast to Lincoln's, and the bruising campaign ads exchanged between the two candidates provided daily fodder for those covering politics. Our number seven political story, Bill Clinton's coattails diminished in Arkansas. We learned something new about the Bill Clinton political machine and its reach in Arkansas in 2010. Clinton still holds sway with Democratic voters, but his clout is diminished with general election participants. Clinton threw his heavyweight status behind Blanche Lincoln in her primary race against Halter, even though Halter had served in the Clinton administration. Many will argue that the last-minute Clinton surge in the Halter-Lincoln runoff provided Lincoln with the final kick needed to win the race. In the general election, Clinton expended his political clout to boost the fortunes of Lincoln again, as well as Democratic congressional candidates Chad Causey and Joyce Elliott, to no avail. All three candidates lost convincingly, suggesting that even the old Clinton magic couldn't pull the rabbit out of the hat in the 2010 election environment. Our number eight political story, the lottery's woes. The Arkansas Scholarship Lottery provided thousands of college-bound students with a much-needed boost in 2010. However, much of the lottery's goodwill was spent defending its actions at the administrative level. Despite a rapid ramp-up, Director Ernie Pasolet found himself fending off critics versus receiving pats on the back. Lottery officials danced around some early administrative snafus until a legislative audit opened up a can of worms that led to two lottery commissioners calling for Pasolet's ouster. Critics pointed to lax compliance with state travel reimbursement records, questionable contract agreements, and hiring workers without proper background checks. The soap opera involving the independent state agency even led Governor Beebe to comment, quote, "All in all, I've been pretty unhappy with events." Our number nine political story, the saga of the car controversy. The Arkansas Democrat Gazette initiated an inquiry into outgoing state land commissioner Mark Wilcox's use of two state vehicles for personal use. The routine story took on a life of its own as other state government officials and agency workers were discovered to have state cars for personal use too. Governor Beebe ultimately conducted a review of state policy and enacted a directive aimed at curtailing abuses throughout state agencies. The story remains in the headlines today and will likely be a subject of discussion in 2011 as state lawmakers tackle the issue in the legislative session. Our number 10 political story in 2010, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee moves to Florida and remains in the presidential spotlight. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee parlayed his unsuccessful 2008 presidential run into a high-profile national media presence through Fox News and ABC News. Huckabee moved his primary residence from Arkansas to Florida in 2010, either an attempt to lower his tax bill or an effort to position himself in a delegate-rich state for a future presidential run. Who knows, he may just like the beach. Nonetheless, Huckabee remains a visible and popular national political figure. His media enterprises have increased his household name ID, and he remains a contender for the GOP presidential nomination in 2012. Huckabee declares he's undecided at this juncture, and 2011 will be a pivotal year to make his decision. We suspect we'll be writing more about him in the new year.